I want to finish up going through the book of James. So we're going to be in James chapter 5 today. This hasn't been a completely in-depth study of the book of James. We've kind of hit on the high points going through. And, I thought maybe this morning we should open with the preacher's prayer. Anybody ever heard of the preacher's prayer? Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and then nudge me when I've said enough. All right, so James chapter 5. Let's just go and we'll jump in. And I'm gonna jump down to verse 13 today. Understand in the adult Sunday school that y'all are starting the study of the book of James. So kind of comes in right behind and some overlap there. All right, James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield crops. So here in chapter 5, James is talking about prayer, and specifically, he's talking a lot about intercessory prayer. And so when we say intercessory prayer, what do we mean? We mean praying for others. And, it seems that so much of the time, if we're not careful, we end up praying for ourselves. God help me. God do this for me. God heal me. God bless me. You know, God get me out of this situation that I got myself into. Intercessory prayer are not selfish prayers at all. We're praying for the good of others. We ought to find more opportunities, I think, to engage in intercessory prayer. Because, if we're not careful, James talked earlier about, selfish prayers. He said, you don't have because you don't ask. And even when you do ask, you don't have because you ask for the wrong things. He's saying you're praying selfish prayers. We should expand our prayers and not focus them so much on me and my situation. We ought to be focusing on the world around us. Amen? All right, so let's not forget we're in a spiritual battle. And again, I think that's a great example that we see, how the enemy comes in, wants to disrupt anything that he can. Anything that God loves, the enemy hates. It's really easy to know what the enemy doesn't like. You start doing things that God likes, the enemy get upset with you. You quit doing things that's pleasing to God, the enemy won't spend any time worrying about you. Start, you start going and having a 3-day Trace Theus meeting out here at the camp. Enemy doesn't like that because that's pleasing to God. He's going to do what he can to destroy it. So we need to continue to be in prayer, not just for us, not just for the people in our church. We need to be in prayer for the people in our community. We need to be in prayer for our nation. We need to be in prayer for the world around us. Amen? I mean, our prayers can expand. They can go forward. They can go forth. And effective prayer can bring about great change. What did it say here? I'm reading from the NLT. James said, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Somebody say amen to that this morning. Prayer is a powerful weapon against what the enemy is doing. And effective prayer is the only way we're going to defeat the enemy. We worry about our country. Well, one of the scriptures we go back to is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and do what? Come on, do what? Pray and seek my face, right? And they will turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. So we notice that magic, I hate to say magic, that key word there. The key word, pray. Amen? Why? Because prayer is powerful. And if we're not careful, sometimes we forget how powerful prayer can be. In fact, I think for a lot of Christians, if they would spend as much time praying for their nation and praying for their leaders as they spend complaining about what's going on in the country and complaining about their leaders, we would possibly see some change. Because I will tell you, complaining, gossiping, running on, and I'm bad about that myself. Amen? I mean, I can get wound up about what's going on and I'm not happy. But my complaining and my running my mouth and my ranting isn't going to change anything. But it's our prayers, our intercessory prayers, is where we're going to see things begin to change. And so I think this is a call not just to Light on a Hill. It's a call to Christians around the world. We need to wake up and we need to get serious about intercessory prayer. Now, if you don't think prayer is powerful, I have a perfect example. This is a law that, or a bill that just passed in Great Britain. Maybe some of you heard about it, but in Great Britain, they just passed a bill that would outlaw prayer within 500 feet of an abortion clinic. And on top of it, it also makes it a criminal offense if you are within 500 feet of an abortion clinic and you are praying silently. I mean, I could understand them saying, okay, if you're standing out by the door, you know, yelling at the top of your lungs, praying, that might be a disturbance. They're saying if you're standing within 500 feet and you bow your head and you pray and you don't say a word, you have committed a crime. And what will they do? They will arrest you and put you in jail. How do I know that? They actually did that to a lady. They arrested her for praying silently. Why would the devil care if somebody stood there and prayed silently if it didn't have any spiritual impact? I mean, why would anybody care? Nobody would care, right? Nobody cares about things that have zero impact. So why do we see this persecution about praying outside abortion clinics? Because prayer is powerful and is defeating the enemy. And so he wants to stop it. I think that's just the perfect example, and we forget how powerful prayer is. Now, I got bad news for the lawmakers in Great Britain, and the bad news is you can be 501 feet away from an abortion clinic, and your prayer is just as powerful. Amen? You can be 5,000 feet away. In fact, you can be on the other side of the planet, and you can pray, because there is nowhere distance doesn't separate us from God. Amen? And so we don't have to be right standing in the middle of a situation that we're praying about. We talked about the diaper collection for Living Alternatives. I would say we not only should we be supporting Living Alternatives, and again, as a church, we send them a monthly support. Now we're doing a special diaper drive to help out and be a blessing to our community that way. But also we're looking to upset the devil. Amen? And so I would say we also need to be in prayer for Living Alternatives, and we need to be in prayer against abortion clinics. And, you know, again, we are fortunate right now. We live in a state where we have a governor and we have lawmakers in Austin who have taken a stand to try to reduce abortion in the state of Texas. And I tell you, they're taking a lot of heat over that. They're taking a lot of abuse. Why? Because the enemy came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen? And taking the life of an unborn child is killing. And in fact, the people that support killing, I mean, they just, there's no end to it. I don't know if you saw this in the news again. Jane Fonda, some of you are old enough to remember Jane Fonda. She just came out and basically said that maybe it's time to start murdering people who oppose abortion. Where does that come from? It comes from the enemy. Amen? We need to be in prayer. Why? Because prayer is powerful. If it wasn't powerful, then the devil wouldn't be trying to shut it down. So James tells us there is tremendous power that comes through a righteous man or woman's prayer. So I want to look at, take just a few minutes and look at four things that jump out to me from this passage that we read. So first, James points out the type of person. So it's not just any person's prayer, amen? It's the prayer of a righteous person. If we want our prayers to be effective, the first thing we must do is we must seek to obtain that status of being a righteous person. And that's not just how we present ourselves around others, but being a righteous person, that's truly the way we live our lives day in and day out. If we aren't living our lives for God, if we aren't putting God first in everything, I don't know that we can be considered a righteous person. And if we're not a righteous person, then we shouldn't expect our prayers necessarily to be powerful. So if we want powerful prayers, we got to clean up our act first. We got to start with ourselves. We got to look in the mirror. And James talks a lot about that, taking a look at our life and the things that need to change. But he's not saying, oh, just change to conform to what are some arbitrary standard. He's saying, look, you want to lead a powerful spiritual life. This is what you need to do. So if you're wondering, what do I need to do to be considered this righteous person James is talking about, go back and read the book of James over again, and he will explain it to you. Amen? So we want to be a righteous person, not just somebody who calls ourselves a Christian, not somebody who says, well, I'm a Christian on Sunday morning, or nowadays it's very fashionable to be a Christian one Sunday morning out of the month, and then the rest of the time to go live like the world. But I'm still a Christian. And then even past that, with COVID coming in, we have so many people that have taken the attitude, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't ever need to go to church. I have no need for the church, but I'm a Christian. Well, okay, but I'm not sure that according to the scripture, you're going to be counted a righteous person. Amen? So let's not try to do it our way. Let's try to do it God's way. You want to know what God's way is? Read the word. All right, second thing that I see that James points out that we need to look at, it is the type of prayer. And in here in the NLT, he says earnest prayer. The King James, I believe it is, says fervent prayer. Amen? The fervent prayer of a righteous man. So what does that mean? Earnest, fervent. Well, it doesn't mean probably the way we pray most of the time, tell you the truth. That means energetic. It means passionate. It means determined. It means persistent. So how many people this morning go, all my prayers are earnest, fervent prayers? Because I tell you, my hand goes down real quick. Right? In fact, that's probably the exception to the rule of how we pray most of the time. You know, we'll pray those little prayers, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else. You know, Lord, bless us and keep us, and, you know, bless this food. Amen. And now let's move on to something else. That's not the type of prayer that James is talking about. He's talking about the type of prayer where we may dig in, we push in, we press in, we want to come before the throne of God in our prayers. And he's saying that's the type of prayer that's going to change things. And we don't accomplish that necessarily just in two or three words. Now, I will tell you, sometimes one word prayer is more than sufficient. Amen? Let the form of prayer fit the situation. Because like I say, when you're going down the icy road and you're skidding off the road and about to go, all over the side of the mountain, that's when you only have time for a one word prayer, you know, help. And God hears those prayers. Amen? But sometimes that's not sufficient. Sometimes James is saying if we want our prayers to be powerful, we need to change the way that we pray. So I guess the question is, do we want our prayers to be answered? And so if the answer is yes, then maybe we have to look at the way we pray. Hebrews 5:8, I think, addresses this. The writer of Hebrews says, when Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. Amen? Does that sound like one of those little prayers? God bless us, God keep us, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough? Not those kind of prayers, is it? He said, Jesus offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and with tears. That's the kind of prayer. But look at what he goes on to say. He said, and God heard his prayers. Why? Because of his deep reverence for God. If we want God to hear our prayers, if you're praying and you don't think God's hearing your prayers, maybe it's time to reassess how we're praying. Amen? Let's pray a powerful, fervent, energetic, determined, earnest, passionate, persistent prayer. Because those are the types of prayers. And then I love it in Colossians. Paul is writing to the Colossian church in chapter 4. He writes about a particular man named Epaphras. And he says, Epaphras is always wrestling in prayer for you. Do you get that? Wrestling in prayer. Does that sound like, again, one of these little quickie prayers? No, he says he's wrestling in prayer. If I think about somebody wrestling in prayer, I think about somebody down on their knees or down on their face, or if you can't get down on your knees, sitting in your chair, but just leaning in and pressing, and everything else is pressed out, and you are struggling. You're putting everything you have within it to push those prayers toward the throne room of God. And because the enemy is going to come in, and when you start to pray, he's going to come in and he's going to start to mess with you. Amen. Prayer is hard. If prayer was easy, everybody would pray this way. But it's hard to pray this way. What's the problem? Well, part of the problem is nowadays we have short attention spans. Amen. And why do we have short attention spans? Well, too much TV, too much cell phones, too much iPads, too much video games. I could go on. If it's electronic, we got too much of it. And those things, I think, have shortened people's attention spans. And so what happens when we try to pray? Well, we get down, God, I come today and I'm going to pray for unborn children. I'm going to pray, you know, that abortion clinics close down. And I'm going to pray that places like Living Alternatives are blessed and that they have even more abundant blessings. And I'm going to pray that people are drawn to them and they hear the message that there are people there to help a woman who finds herself pregnant, maybe unmarried, maybe with no family support, to find that she has people who are there for her to be with her. And we start praying like that, and then what we start thinking? Oh, yeah, I'm out of milk. Anybody else ever have crazy things pop in your head when you start praying, right? Yeah, let's see. Well, I'm praying in yeah, that's right. Yeah, when I leave church on the way home, I got to go by the store and I better run in and get some milk before I go home because I don't want to have to drive all the way back to town. And then we lost our train of thought. Amen. We're not pressing in prayer anymore. I think sometimes we had to learn how to focus in prayer. Build up that attention span. And I'll tell you, I'm the world's worst at it. So if you think I'm calling you out, I don't know. I mean, unless you tell me, I don't know, but I'm telling you what I do. I find it so easily to become distracted in prayer. That's not the type of prayer we should pray, but we should be wrestling in prayer. All right, the third thing that I see in this passage is how to achieve effective prayer. Okay, well, the first thing you got to do is you got to pray. Amen? But then sometimes James says it goes beyond you praying. Amen? And what did he say? He said, call for the elders. Amen? Now, I want to point out something here that's really interesting. It didn't say, if you're sick, wait for the pastor to call you. Did James say that? I didn't read that in my Bible. In fact, I haven't read it in any translation I have. And I know none of you guys do this, but I will tell you, this happens all the time. People will, they'll get mad. They'll say, I was sick and the pastor didn't call me. Sometimes they go, oh, I was in the hospital and the pastor didn't visit me. Well, a lot of times the pastor had no idea where that person was. They didn't know they were sick. A lot of times somebody be in the hospital, the pastor never knows they're in the hospital. How can the pastor go visit somebody if he doesn't know? Well, what's the answer? Well, the answer, I think, is back to the biblical way. You want the pastor to come pray for you? You call me. I don't think have I ever said, no, I won't come pray for you if anybody called to ask me to pray. I don't think so. Amen? I'm pretty confident Pastor Jesse, if you call him, he'll come and pray for you. I'm pretty confident that whatever he's doing, he will drop it and he will say, this is more important to go do this. But you have to call. And so you want your prayers to be effective? Learn sometimes that you need to call for help. Amen? It's okay to call for help. Don't always expect that the pastors are going to come seek you out. In fact, I will tell you, a lot of times, if we call and ask, if we find somebody sick, say, would you like us to come by? They're like, no, I would, you know, I'm good. And again, I understand that. I'm not twisting anybody's arm. If you don't want people, because I'll tell you, when I'm sick, I don't want anybody to come to my house. Amen? You know, if I'm just sick, and I know I'm going to get over it in a couple of days, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk with anybody. So pray for me, you know, because again, 500 feet away works. 5 miles away works, that's fine. But let me tell you, if I'm really, really, really sick, then I'm going to say, come pray for me. Amen? So the situation gets there, I'm going to start saying, you know, I'm going to call people. If I can't call people, I'm going to tell my wife. You start calling everybody, you tell them to pray. Amen? I'm going to tell her to call all my pastor friends in town that I know and tell them to come and pray for me. Amen? Because when we get serious about prayer, we start calling for prayer. So sometimes James says we do need to call for that prayer. And then what happens at that point? Well, then you get prayed for in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, pray the prayer. And then finally, James tells us then, what are the effects? What are the results of effective prayer? Well, one of the things he says, it will heal the sick. Amen? You're sick. You don't want to be sick anymore. Get prayed for. Now, do I promise God will heal you? I don't promise God will do anything. I promise if you're sick and you call, I'll bring some oil and I'll pray for you. Amen? And then God will do what God does. We're told that we should call and be prayed for. I've seen so many people that have been really, really sick that as a result of prayer, they've been healed. Amen? I mean, we would have to call them miracle healings because they defy medical science. They go beyond anything science can explain. What's the answer? I believe that God heals people. Amen? I believe that prayer is instrumental in that healing. So the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Said the Lord will raise him up. And again, I want to point out, it's God who does it. Amen? Nothing special about having the pastor come pray for you. In fact, anybody can go pray for somebody who's sick. And we should. Amen? We all should be praying for the sick. It's not reserved just for the pastors. And this word elders in the Bible, I use them interchangeably. If you see the word elder, if you see the word pastor, if you see the word bishop, those are all mean pretty much the same thing. They're just different words. And we could get into the semantics. Maybe we'll do that for fun one day. But here when it says elders, James is referring to the pastors of the church. And so you call and the pastors will come pray for you. But, you know, you can call anybody in the church and they can come pray for you. Amen? They can come anoint you with oil. They can pray, lay hands on you. Because it's not the person who does the healing. Amen? The prayers of the pastor are no more effective than anybody else. Amen? It's that righteous person that we really want. You get sick and the doctor says, you're going to die. What are you going to do? Hey, start calling the most righteous people, you know, to come pray. Amen? Whoever you think is the most righteous person, that's probably who you want to come pray at that point. All right, but the Lord will raise him up. God will do it. Oh, and then he throws in, also, sins will be forgiven. Amen? And it's kind of interesting because there was a story, about Jesus where he came to a man who had been brought to be healed, and Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And everybody got upset, and they said, well, you can't forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. And anyway, he didn't come to get his sins forgiven. He came to be healed. And I think Jesus makes it clear. There's a connection there. Amen? What is that connection? We live in a fallen world. Before sin entered the world, there was no sickness. There was no illness. But it was sin that produced the sickness. Amen? And so if we want to cleanse our illness, we need to cleanse our sins as well. How do we do that? Through prayer. Amen? So James tells us that. And then I like where he goes on in verse 17, and he talks about Elijah. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets ever. In fact, you know, if you go back through the scripture, who are the two greatest prophets? Moses and Elijah. We don't count Jesus as a prophet because he was God, not a prophet. So if we take him out of the running, Elijah and Moses. And I guess we could have debate over who was greatest, Elijah or Moses. I think it's a tie. Two great men of God. Something we can see as a human being who was as close to God, a human being who had that righteous lifestyle, who's prayed those fervent, powerful prayers, who saw those miraculous results. Amen? Here are examples of that. But look at what James says again, though. He says Elijah was human just like we are. Amen? So there was nothing special. He wasn't a superman. There wasn't anything different about him. It was how he approached it. But I think James is telling us we all have that potential to have our prayers answered the same way Elijah did. And if you forget about all the prayers, go back and read through Elijah and read through Moses about all the miraculous things that happened because of their prayers. And James is saying that same power is available because it's not us that's doing it. Amen? It's not our righteous lifestyle that causes it to happen, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit that does it. But to make our prayers effective, it comes back to our lifestyle and how we pray and digging in prayer and being serious about prayer and putting that power behind our prayers. Then we start seeing victories in the spiritual world. So we have that same ability to pray those powerful prayers and see those powerful results. So, as I close this morning, I want to remind us we need to engage in powerful intercessory prayer. And what happens if we don't engage in powerful intercessory prayer? Well, a lot of things. One, anybody have a friend or a loved one that's not saved? What's the best thing you can do? intercessory prayer. Amen? If we don't want our friends and loved ones to die lost and go to an eternity in hell, what do? We pray for them. We don't appreciate the opportunity we have to come together on Sunday morning freely and assemble without the government closing down the church, shutting the doors, and arresting us if we come. What do we need to do? We need to engage in intercessory prayer. If we don't want to be arrested because we're praying silently, standing too close to some facility that the devil is using to destroy lives, what do we need to do? Engage in intercessory prayer. If we want to see results, we need to engage in intercessory prayer. If we want our nation to change, if we want our government to change, what do we need to do? We need to engage in intercessory prayer. If we don't want to see those things, then we can just back up, be quiet, let it go, because I will tell you where it's going, and it's going downhill quick. Amen? This morning, as we close